And now, Chapter 23, Delivering the Wives of the Brahmins Who Perform Sacrifices. The morning passed, and the cowherd boys were very hungry, because they had not eaten breakfast. They immediately approached Krishna and Balaram and said, "Dear Krishna and Balaram, you are both all-powerful. You can kill many, many demons, but today we are much afflicted with hunger, and this is disturbing us. Please arrange for something that will mitigate our hunger." Requested in this way by their friends, Lord Krishna and Balaram immediately showed compassion on certain wives of Brahmins who were performing sacrifices. These wives were great devotees of the Lord, and Krishna took this opportunity to bless them. He said, "My dear friends, please go to the house of the Brahmins nearby. They are now engaged in performing Vedic sacrifices known as Angiras, for they desire elevation to heavenly planets. All of you please go to them." Then Lord Krishna warned his friends, "These Brahmins are not Vaishnavs. They cannot even chant our names, Krishna and Balaram. They are very busy in chanting the Vedic hymns, although the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find me. But because they are not attracted by the names of Krishna and Balaram, you had better not ask them for anything in my name. Better ask for some charity in the name of Balaram." Charity is generally given to high-class Brahmins, but Krishna and Balaram did not appear in a Brahmin family. Balaram was known as the son of Vasudev, a Kshatriya, and Krishna was known in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj, who was a Vaishya. Neither belonged to the Brahmin community. Therefore, Krishna considered that the Brahmins engaged in performing sacrifices might not be induced to give charity to a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. So he said, "But at least if you utter the name of Balaram, they may prefer to give in charity to a Kshatriya rather than to me, because I am only a Vaishya." Being thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the boys went to the Brahmins and began to ask for some charity. They approached them with folded hands and fell down on the ground to offer respect. "O earthly gods, kindly hear us, who are ordered by Lord Krishna and Balaram. We hope you know them both very well, and we wish you all good fortune. Krishna and Balaram are tending cows nearby, and we have accompanied them. We have come to ask for some food from you. You are all Brahmins and knowers of religious principles, and if you think that you should give us charity, then give us some food, and we shall all eat along with Krishna and Balaram. You are the most respectable Brahmins within the human society, and you are expected to know all the principles of religious procedure." Although the boys were village boys, and were not expected to be learned in all the Vedic principles of religious ritual, they hinted that because of their association with Krishna and Balaram, they knew all those principles. By addressing the Brahmins as knowers of all religious principles, the boys expressed the point of view that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, were asking for food, the Brahmins should immediately deliver some without hesitation. Because, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one should perform yajna, sacrifices, only for the satisfaction of Vishnu. The voice continued, "Lord Vishnu, as Krishna and Balaram, is standing waiting, and you should immediately deliver whatever food you have in your stock." They also explained to the Brahmins how foodstuffs are to be accepted. Generally, the Vaishnavas, or pure devotees of the Lord, do not take part in ordinary sacrificial performances, but they know very well the ceremonials called Diksha, Pashu Samsta, and Sautramani. One is permitted to take food after the procedure of Diksha and before the animal sacrificial ceremony and the Sautramani, or ceremony in which liquors are also offered. The boy said, We can take your food at the present stage of your ceremony, for now it will not be prohibited, so you can deliver us the foodstuff. Although the companions of Lord Krishna and Balaram were simple cowherd boys, they were in a position to dictate even to the high-class Brahmins engaged in the Vedic rituals of sacrifices. But the smarter Brahmins, who were simply sacrificial-minded, could not understand the dictation of the transcendental devotees of the Lord. They could not even appreciate the begging of the Supreme Lord, Krishna and Balaram. Although they heard all the arguments on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, they did not care for them, and they refused to speak to the boys. Despite being highly elevated in the knowledge of Vedic sacrificial rites, all such non-devotee Brahmins, although they think of themselves as very highly elevated, are ignorant, foolish persons. All their activities are useless, because they do not know the purpose of the Vedas as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, to understand Krishna. In spite of their advancement in Vedic knowledge and rituals, they do not understand Krishna. Therefore, their knowledge of the Vedas is superficial. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, gave his valuable opinion that a person does not have to be born in a Brahmin family. If he knows Krishna or the science of Krishna consciousness, he is more than a Brahmin, and he is quite fit to become a spiritual master. There are various details to be observed in the performance of sacrifices. They are known as desh, place, kala, time, pritag, dravya, the different detailed paraphernalia, mantra, hymns, tantra, scriptural evidences, agni, fire, ritvij, learned performers of sacrifices, devata, the demigods, jajman, the performer of the sacrifices, kratu, the sacrifice itself, and dharma, the procedures. All these are for satisfying Krishna. It is confirmed that he is the actual enjoyer of all sacrifices because he is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Absolute Truth beyond the conception or speculation of material senses. He is present just like an ordinary human boy. But for persons who identify themselves with the body, it is very difficult to understand him. The Brahmins were very interested in the comforts of this material body and in elevation to the higher planetary residences called Svarga Vas. They were therefore completely unable to understand the position of Krishna. When the boys saw that the Brahmins would not speak to them, they became very disappointed. They then returned to Lord Krishna and Balaram and explained everything that had happened. After hearing their statements, the Supreme Personality began to smile. He told them that they should not be sorry for being refused by the Brahmins, because that is the way of begging. He convinced them that while one is engaged in collecting or begging, one should not think that he will be successful everywhere. He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be cause for disappointment. Lord Krishna then asked all the boys to go again, but this time to the wives of those Brahmins engaged in sacrifices. He also informed them that these wives were great devotees. They are always absorbed in thinking of us. Go there and ask for some food in my name and the name of Balaram, and I am sure that they will deliver you as much food as you desire. Carrying out Krishna's order, the boys immediately went to the wives of the Brahmins. They found the wives sitting inside their house. They were very beautifully decorated with ornaments. After offering them all respectful obeisances, the boys said, "Dear mothers, please accept our humble obeisances and hear our statement. May we inform you that Lord Krishna and Balaram are nearby. They have come here with the cows, and you may know also that we have come here under their instructions. All of us are very hungry. Therefore, we have come to you for some food. Please give us something to eat for Krishna, Balaram, and ourselves." Immediately, Upon hearing this, the wives of the Brahmins became anxious for Krishna and Balaram. These reactions were spontaneous. They did not have to be convinced of the importance of Krishna and Balaram. Immediately upon hearing their names, they became very anxious to see them. Being advanced by thinking of Krishna constantly, they were performing the greatest form of mystic meditation. All the wives then became very busily engaged in filling up different pots with nice foodstuff. Due to the performance of the sacrifice, the various food was all very palatable. After collecting a feast, they prepared to go to Krishna, their most lovable object, exactly in the way rivers flow to the sea. For a long time, the wives had been anxious to see Krishna. However, when they were preparing to leave home to go see him, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go. But the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for the bodily ties. The women entered the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, which was verdant with vegetation and newly grown vines and flowers. Within that forest, they saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in tending the cows, along with their very affectionate boyfriends. The Brahmin's wives saw Krishna putting on a garment glittering like gold. He wore a nice garland of forest flowers and a peacock feather on his head. He was also painted with the minerals found in Vrindavan, and he looked exactly like a dancing actor on a theatrical stage. They saw him keeping one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and in his other hand, he was holding a lotus flower. His ears were decorated with lilies, and he wore marks of tilak, and he was smiling charmingly. With their very eyes, the wives of the Brahmins saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom they had heard so much, who was so dear to them, and in whom their minds were always absorbed. Now they saw him eye to eye and face to face, and Krishna entered within their hearts through their eyes. They began to embrace Krishna to their heart's content, and the distress of separation was mitigated immediately. They were just like great sages who, by their advancement of knowledge, merge into the existence of the Supreme. As the super soul living in everyone's heart, Lord Krishna could understand their minds. They had come to him despite all the protests of their relatives, fathers, husbands, brothers, and all the duties of household affairs. They came just to see him, who was their life and soul. They were actually following Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. One should surrender to him, giving up all varieties of occupational and religious duties. The wives of the Brahmins actually carried out the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita in total. He therefore began to speak to them, smiling very magnificently. It should be noted in this connection that when Krishna entered into the wives' hearts, and when they embraced him and felt the transcendental bliss of being merged with him, the Supreme Lord Krishna did not lose his identity, nor did the individual wives lose theirs. The individuality of both the Lord and the wives remained, yet they felt oneness in existence. When a lover submits to his lover without any pinch of personal consideration, that is called oneness. Lord Chaitanya has taught us this feeling of oneness in his Shikshastika. Krishna may act freely, doing whatever he likes, but the devotee should always be in oneness or in agreement with his desires. That oneness was exhibited by the wives of the Brahmins in their love for Krishna. Krishna welcomed them with the following words: "My dear wives of the Brahmins, you are all very fortunate and welcomed here. Please let me know what I can do for you. Your coming here, neglecting all the restrictions and hindrances of relatives, fathers, brothers, and husbands, in order to see me, is completely befitting. One who does this actually knows his self-interest, because rendering transcendental loving service unto me without motive or restriction is actually auspicious for the living entities. Lord Krishna here confirms that the highest perfectional stage of the conditional soul is surrender to him. One must give up all other responsibilities. This complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most auspicious path for the conditioned soul, because the Supreme Lord is the supreme objective of love. Everyone is loving Krishna ultimately, but realization is according to the advancement of his knowledge. One comes to understand that his self is the spirit soul, and the spirit soul is nothing but a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate goal of love, and thus one should surrender unto him. This surrender is considered auspicious for the conditioned soul. Our life, property, home, wife, children, house, country, society, and all paraphernalia which are very dear to us are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the central object of love because he gives us all bliss, expanding himself in so many ways according to our different situations, namely bodily, mental, or spiritual. My dear wives of the Brahmins, Krishna said, you can now return to your homes. Engage yourself in sacrificial activities and be engaged in the service of your husbands and household affairs, so that your husbands will be pleased with you, and the sacrifice which they have begun will be properly executed. After all, your husbands are householders, and without your help, how can they execute their prescribed duties? The wives of the Brahmins replied, dear Lord, this sort of instruction does not befit you. Your eternal promise is that you will always protect your devotees, and now you must fulfill this promise. Anyone who comes and surrenders unto you never goes back to the conditional life of material existence. We expect that you will now fulfill your promise. We have surrendered unto your lotus feet, which are covered by the tulsi leaves. So we have no more desire to return to the company of our so-called relatives, friends, and society, and give up the shelter of your lotus feet. And what shall we do returning home? Our husbands, brothers, fathers, sons, mothers, and friends, they will not accept us at home, because we have already left them all. Therefore we have no shelter to return to. Please, therefore, do not ask us to return home, but arrange for our stay under your lotus feet, so that we can eternally live under your protection. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, my dear wives, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you on your return, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you, because you are my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Krishna is situated as the Supersoul in everyone's heart. So if someone becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, he immediately becomes pleasing to everyone. The pure devotee of Lord Krishna is never inimical to anyone. A sane person cannot be an enemy of a pure devotee. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, Krishna said further, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. After being instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the wives returned home to their respective husbands. Pleased to see their wives back home, the Brahmins executed the performances of the sacrifices by sitting together, as it is enjoined in the Shastras. According to Vedic principle, religious rituals must be executed by the husband and wife together. When the Brahmins' wives returned, the sacrifice was duly and nicely executed. One of the Brahmins' wives, however, who was forcibly checked from going to see Krishna, began to remember him as she heard of his bodily features. Being completely absorbed in his thought, she gave up her material body, conditioned by the laws of nature. Sri Govinda, the ever-joyful personality of Godhead, revealed his transcendental pastimes, appearing just like an ordinary human being, and enjoyed the food offered by the wives of the Brahmins. In this way, he attracted common persons to Krishna consciousness. He attracted to his words and beauty all the cows, cowherd boys, and damsels in Vrindavan. After the return of their wives from Krishna, the Brahmins, engaged in the performance of sacrifices, began to regret their sinful activities in refusing food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They could finally understand their mistake. Engaged in the performance of Vedic rituals, they had neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared just like an ordinary human being, and asked for some food. They began to condemn themselves after seeing the faith and devotion of their wives. They regretted very much that although their wives were elevated to the platform of pure devotional service, they themselves could not understand even a little bit of how to love and offer transcendental loving service to the Supreme Soul. They began to talk among themselves. To hell with our being born Brahmins. To hell with our learning all Vedic literatures. To hell with our performing great sacrifices and observing all the rules and regulations. To hell with our family. To hell with our expert service in performing the rituals exactly to the description of the scriptures. To hell with it all, for we have not developed transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the speculation of the mind, body, and senses. The learned Brahmins, expert in Vedic ritualistic performances, were properly regretful, because without developing Krishna consciousness, all discharge of religious duties is simply a waste of time and energy. They continue to talk among themselves. The external energy of Krishna is so strong that it can create illusion to overcome even the greatest mystic yogi. Although we expert Brahmins are considered to be the teachers of all other sections of human society, we also have been illusioned by the external energy. Just see how fortunate these women are who have so devotedly dedicated their lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. They could easily give up their family connection, which is so difficult to do. Family life is just like a dark well for the continuation of material miseries. Women in general, being very simple in heart, can very easily take to Krishna consciousness. And when they develop love of Krishna, they can easily get liberation from the clutches of Maya, which is very difficult for even so-called intelligent and learned men to surpass. According to Vedic injunction, women are not allowed to undergo the purificational process of initiation by the sacred thread, nor are they allowed to live as brahmacharini in the ashram of the spiritual master. Nor are they advised to undergo the strict disciplinary procedure. Nor are they very much expert in discussing the philosophy of self-realization. And by nature, they are not very pure. Nor are they very much attached to auspicious activities. But how wonderful it is that they have developed transcendental love for Krishna, the Lord of all mystic yogis, the Brahmins exclaimed. They have surpassed all of us in firm faith and devotion unto Krishna. Being too attached to materialistic way of life, although we are considered to be the masters of all purificational processes, we did not actually know what the goal is. Even though we were reminded of Krishna and Balaram by the cowherd boys, we disregarded them. We think now that it was simply a trick of mercy upon us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he sent his friends to beg foodstuffs from us. Otherwise, he had no need to send them. He could have satisfied their hunger then and there just by willing to do so. If someone denies Krishna's self-sufficiency on hearing that he was tending the cows for livelihood, or if someone doubts his not being in need of the foodstuff, thinking that he was actually hungry, then one should understand that the goddess of fortune is always engaged in his service. In this way, the goddess can break her faulty habit of restlessness. In Vedic literatures, like Brahma Samhita, it is stated that Krishna is served in his abode with great respect by not only one goddess of fortune, but many thousands. Therefore, it is simply illusion for one to think that Krishna begged food from the Brahmins. It was actually a trick to show them the mercy of accepting him in pure devotional service. The Vedic ceremonial paraphernalia, the suitable place, suitable time, different grades of articles for performing ritualistic ceremonies, the Vedic hymns, the priest who is able to perform such sacrifice, the fire and the demigods, the performer of the sacrifice, and the religious principles are all meant for understanding Krishna. For Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the Lord of all mystic yogis. The Brahmin said, because he has appeared as a child in the dynasty of the Yadus, we were so foolish that we could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But on the other hand, we are very proud because we have such exalted wives who have developed pure transcendental service of the Lord without being shackled by our rigid opposition. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, under whose illusory energy, called Maya, we are absorbed in fruitive activities. We therefore pray to the Lord to be kind enough to excuse us, because we are simply captivated by his external energy. We transgressed his order without knowing his transcendental glories. The Brahmins repented for their sinful activities. They wanted to go personally to offer their obeisances unto him. But being afraid of Kamsa, they could not go. In other words, it is very difficult for one to surrender fully unto the personality of Godhead without being purified by devotional service. The example of the learned Brahmins and their wives is vivid. The wives of the Brahmins, because they were inspired by pure devotional service, did not care for any kind of opposition. They immediately went to Krishna. But although the Brahmins had come to know the supremacy of the Lord and were repenting, they were still afraid of King Kamsa because they were too addicted to fruitive activities. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 23rd chapter of Krishna, delivering the wives of the Brahmins who performed sacrifices.